Hello, and welcome to Learning English Weekend, the Saturday edition. I'm Christopher Jones-Cruz in Washington. Katie Weaver is on vacation this week. She'll be back next Saturday. It's March 19th, 2016. It was on this day in 1931 that gambling was legalized in the western state of Nevada, leading to the fast growth of the city of Las Vegas. Now, here's what's ahead on today's program. The top suspect in the terror attacks in France in November 2015 has been arrested in Belgium. We'll tell you more in a moment. On our weekly program in the news, we'll report on the Islamic State terrorist group's loss of a lot of territory in Iraq and Syria after attacks by Russian jets and coalition forces. We will tell you about President Obama's planned trip to Cuba on Sunday. And we will report on a well-known Broadway and television actress. She was born in the United States, moved with her Zimbabwean parents to Harare when she was 5, and returned to the U.S. for college and stayed. She calls herself a Zimmerican. And finally on the program today, we will tell a traditional American story called A Tall Tale. This is a story about a person who is larger than life and, indeed, probably never even existed. The subject of our story this week is Paul Bunyan, a hero of North America's lumberjacks, the workers who cut down trees. So you can see, as always, we have a lot for you today. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the voice of America. The top suspect in the terror attacks in France in November 2015 has been arrested in Belgium. Reports say Salah Abdeslam was arrested by Belgian police during a raid Friday in Brussels. Abdeslam and another person were injured in the operation. Reports say he was wounded in the leg. Belgian authorities found the suspect's fingerprints in an apartment earlier this week in another area of Brussels. Abdeslam has been the top target in an intense hunt. Officials have searched for suspects and militants who carried out the attacks that killed 130 people in Paris 4 months ago. Police say the attacks were, in part, prepared and coordinated in Brussels. Since mid-November, 11 people have been arrested and charged in Belgium in connection with the killings. 8 are still in detention. Military pressure against the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq has cost the terrorist group 22% of its territory in the past 15 months. Ann Ball tells us more.
About half of the loss has happened since the beginning of this year. The monitoring group, IHS, said the militants are, in its words, increasingly isolated and being perceived as in decline. IHS said the terrorists have been pushed back in northern Syria between Raqqa, claimed by the Islamic State, and the Turkish border. Airstrikes by Russia and a coalition led by the United States have freed important border crossings. Kurdish and Sunni fighters have supported that coalition. The Islamic State terrorist group controls only a small area of Syria where it smuggles supplies and fighters from Turkey. At the same time, pro-government forces in Iraq also regained territory. The army and Sunni and Shiite militias took back control of Ramadi. Iraq also plans to try to retake Mosul in the north. The militants have held the city for more than a year and a half. The international community has noted the need for a unified fight against the Islamic State militants. It says if the Syrian government and rebels sign a peace agreement, their armies and weapons can be used in the fight against the IS militants. As many as 470,000 people have died in Syria, and millions have fled the country in the past 5 years. There has been little progress to end the country's civil war. UN-led peace talks were held in Geneva, Switzerland this week. I'm Anne Ball.
Thanks, Anne. President Obama is to travel to Cuba Sunday, becoming the first American president to visit the communist-ruled island nation while in office in almost 90 years. Marcia James reports.
Administration officials said Obama will meet Cuban President Raul Castro on Monday. He will meet with members of Cuban civil society, including human rights activists, and will give a speech to the Cuban people Tuesday. Ted Henkin is a professor at Baruch College in New York. He has written about Cuba. He will be in the country during the president's visit. He told VOA that President Obama is traveling to Cuba to ensure that relations between the United States and Cuba are not reversed when he leaves office. Henkin says Obama wants to speak directly to the Cuban people. Henkin said the president will meet and talk with whom he chooses, and not just with who the government wishes him to meet with only, he said. He says the president and his aides will work to convince Cuban officials to change their policies. He said they will not stop pushing for the nation to accept the American values of democracy and respect for human rights. But Henkin says the president has made it very clear that it is the Cuban people who should and who will decide their future, and the United States will not be making demands on anyone in Cuba, but will be communicating a message of friendship, of assistance, of solidarity. Henkin says Obama also will explain to the Cuban people that the United States is not the reason for the island's poor economic conditions. After his trip to Cuba, Obama will travel to Argentina. In his final months in office, he will also visit Canada and Peru. I'm Marcia James.
Thanks, Marcia. Now, we present stories about the United States. We call this part of the Saturday edition of Learning English Weekend American Mosaic. This week's American Mosaic story comes from Mario Ritter. He tells us about a well-known Broadway and television actress who considers herself both American and Zimbabwean.
Actress Denai Gurira calls herself a Zimerican. Her parents came from Zimbabwe. She was born in the American state of Iowa. But her family moved back to Harare, Zimbabwe, when she was 5 years old. She returned to the United States for college and has lived there ever since. "I was always a hodgepodge of culture," she said. "There's no other identity I know, really." The actress may be known as Michonne, the zombie killer in the television series The Walking Dead. But when Gurira is not killing zombies, she is busy with other projects. She recently played rapper Tupac Shakur's mother in a film, and she is now busy racing between theaters for two plays in New York City, plays that she wrote. Her play Familiar is an off-Broadway comedy drama. It centers on the cultural clashes between American and African traditions. The play takes place in the state of Minnesota. The eldest daughter of Zimbabwean parents is getting married to a white man. The story was taken from her own observations, Gurira said.
"I was at a wedding and I was just struck by all of my family's absurdities, and my own included, and I just knew I could not write about it."
The upper middle class of Familiar may seem familiar to many American audiences, but the setting of her play Eclipsed, Gurira's Broadway debut, is something else entirely. Gurira decided to write Eclipsed after reading a New York Times story about the Civil War in Liberia and the young women who fought in it. She described it like this.
"These were like 22, 23-year-old girls, women, who had like, you know, little skimpy jeans on, little skimpy tops, and like really looked cool and hip and current. And then they had these big AK-47s on their backs."
Gurira went to Liberia and met with women who were former soldiers, sex slaves, and peace negotiators. She wrote the play based on their stories. In Eclipsed, Oscar-winning actress Lupita Nyong'o plays a 15-year-old girl who is trying to survive under the rebels. The girl is continually raped by a commander, but believes that she can find her freedom in the rebel army. "Well, I think the girl is our way into this world," Nyong'o said. "She comes into this world and is trying to figure out what the rules are. And she has to make a lot of choices about how she intends to survive." Eclipsed is making Broadway history. It is the first production with an all-black female cast. It is also the first Broadway play directed by a black woman and written by a black woman. Theater critics have praised the play. With two plays and a movie, Gurira is still not slowing down. She is now working on a play about the women's movement in Africa. I'm Mario Ritter.
Thanks, Mario. Now, as we do every Saturday, we bring you an American story. It is one of our most popular programs. Today, we present a story called A Tall Tale. These kinds of stories tell about the life of a person who may not have ever really existed. The descriptions in the story are exaggerated, much greater than in real life. This often makes the story very funny. Long ago, the people who settled in undeveloped areas of America told tall tales. After a hard day's work, people gathered to tell each other funny stories. To tell us more, here is Faith Lapidus.
Each group of workers had its own tall tale hero. Paul Bunyan was a hero of North America's lumberjacks, the workers who cut down trees. He was known for his strength, speed, and skill. Tradition says he cleared forests from the northeastern United States to the Pacific Ocean. Some people say Paul Bunyan was the creation of storytellers from the middle western Great Lakes area of the United States. Other people say the stories about him came from French Canada. Early in the 20th century, a writer prepared a collection of Paul Bunyan stories. They were included in a publication from the Red River Lumber Company in Minnesota. It is not known if the stories helped the company's sales, but they became extremely popular. Here is Shep O'Neill with our story about Paul Bunyan.
Many years ago, Paul Bunyan was born in the northeastern American state of Maine. His mother and father were shocked when they first saw the boy. Paul was so large at birth that 5 large birds had to carry him to his parents. When the boy was only a few weeks old, he weighed more than 45 kilograms. As a child, Paul was always hungry. His parents needed 10 cows to supply milk for his meals. Before long, he ate 50 eggs and 10 containers of potatoes every day. Young Paul grew so big that his parents did not know what to do with him. Once, Paul rolled over so much in his sleep that he caused an earthquake. This angered people in the town where his parents lived, so the government told his mother and father they would have to move him somewhere else. Paul's father built a wooden cradle, a traditional bed for a baby. His parents put the cradle in waters along the coast of Maine. However, every time Paul rolled over, huge waves covered all the coastal towns. So his parents brought their son back on land. They took him into the woods. This is where he grew up. As a boy, Paul helped his father cut down trees. Paul had the strength of many men. He also was extremely fast. He could turn off a light and then jump into his bed before the room got dark. Maine is very cold for much of the year. One day, it started to snow. The snow covered Paul's home and a nearby forest. However, this snow was very unusual. It was blue. The blue snow kept falling until the forest was covered. Paul put on his snowshoes and went out to see the unusual sight. As he walked, Paul discovered an animal stuck in the snow. It was a baby ox. Paul decided to take the ox home with him. He put the animal near the fireplace. After the ox got warmer, his hair remained blue. Paul decided to keep the blue ox and named him Babe. Babe grew very quickly. One night, Paul left him in a small building with the other animals. The next morning, the barn was gone, and so was Babe. Paul searched everywhere for the animal. He found Babe calmly eating grass in a valley, with the barn still on top of his back. Babe followed Paul and grew larger every day. Every time Paul looked, Babe seemed to grow taller. In those days, much of North America was filled with thick green forests. Paul Bunyan could clear large wooded areas with a single stroke of his large, sharp axe. Paul taught Babe to help with his work. Babe was very useful. For example, Paul had trouble removing trees along a road that was not straight. He decided to tie one end of the road to what remained of a tree in the ground. Paul tied the other end to Babe. Babe dug his feet in the ground and pulled with all his strength until the road became straight. In time, Paul and Babe the Blue Ox left Maine and moved west to look for work in other forests. Along the way, Paul dug out the Great Lakes to provide drinking water for Babe. They settled in a camp near the Onion River in the state of Minnesota. Paul's camp was the largest in the country. The camp was so large that a man had to have 1 week's supply of food when walking from one side of the camp to the other. Paul decided to get other lumberjacks to help with the work. His work crew became known as the Seven Axe Men. Each man was more than 2 meters tall and weighed more than 160 kilograms. All of the axemen were named Elmer. That way, they all came running whenever Paul called them. The man who cooked for the group was named Sourdough Sam. He made everything, except coffee, from sourdough, a substance used in making sourdough bread. Every Sunday, Paul and his crew ate hotcakes. Each hotcake was so large that it took 5 men to eat one. Paul usually had 10 or more hotcakes, depending on how hungry he was. The table where the men ate was so long that a server usually drove to one end of the table and stayed the night. The server drove back in the morning with a fresh load of food. Paul needed someone to help with the camp's finances. He gave the job to a man named Johnny Inkslinger. Johnny kept records of everything, including wages and the cost of feeding Babe. He sometimes used 9 containers of writing fluid a day to keep such detailed records. The camp also was home to Sport, the reversible dog. One of the workers accidentally cut Sport in two. The man hurried to put the dog back together, but made a mistake. He bent the animal's back the wrong way. However, that was not a problem for Sport. He learned to run on his front legs until he was tired. Then he turned the other way and ran on his back legs. Big mosquitoes were a problem at the camp. The men attacked the insects with their axes and long sticks. Before long, the men put barriers around their living space. Then Paul ordered them to get big bees to destroy the mosquitoes. But the bees married the mosquitoes, and the problem got worse. They began to produce young insects. One day, the insects' love of sweets caused them to attack a ship that was bringing sugar to the camp. At last, the mosquitoes and bees were defeated. They ate so much sugar, they could not move. Paul always gave Babe the Blue Ox a 35-kilogram piece of sugar when he was good, but sometimes Babe liked to play tricks. At night, Babe would make noises and hit the ground with his feet. The men at the camp would run out of the buildings where they slept, thinking it was an earthquake. When winter came, Babe had trouble finding enough food to eat. Snow covered everything. Ole, the blacksmith, solved the problem. He made huge green sunglasses for Babe. When Babe wore the sunglasses, he thought the snow was grass. Before long, Babe was strong and healthy again. One year, Paul's camp was especially cold. It was so cold that the men let their facial hair grow very long. When the men spoke, their words froze in the air. Everything they said remained frozen all winter long and did not melt until spring. Paul Bunyan and Babe left their mark on many areas. Some people say they were responsible for creating Puget Sound in the western state of Washington. Others say Paul Bunyan and Babe cleared the trees from the states of North Dakota and South Dakota. They prepared this area for farming. Babe the Blue Ox died in South Dakota. One story says he ate too many hotcakes. Paul buried his old friend there. Today, the burial place is known as the Black Hills. Whatever happened to Paul Bunyan? There are lots of stories. Some people say he was last seen in Alaska, or even the Arctic Circle. Another tradition says he still returns to Minnesota every summer. It says Paul moves in and out of the woods, so few people ever know that he is there.
Next week, we will tell you another interesting American story called The Exact Science of Matrimony by O. Henry. Well, that's it for this week's Learning English Weekend, the Saturday edition. We hope it has informed and entertained you and has helped you learn everyday American English. You can read and listen to the stories that you have heard on today's program on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. And we'd like to hear from you. Send us an email with your thoughts. Our address is learningenglish@voanews.com. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz reporting from Washington. For all of us here at VOA Learning English, thanks for spending some time with us today. I'll be back tomorrow at this same time with Learning English Weekend, the Sunday edition. Please join us then as we help you learn everyday American English with another broadcast, webcast, and podcast from The Voice of America.
It's music time.